We are less than 7 days away from the NFL draft, so there's no better time than right now to try and predict some of the best landing spots for some of these incoming rookie wide receivers and running backs. And let's start right away with the Kansas City Chiefs, who are in the market for a wide receiver, and that became even more apparent after the recent Rashi Rice news. Now, Kansas City, they won the Super Bowl, we all know that, so they get the last pick in the first round, and they actually have, based on no trades right now, the last pick in the second round and also the third round, so this is where you can see them use some capital on a wide receiver, maybe even in a couple of spots. And look, if we look at their recent depth chart, and this isn't going to be spot on, there's going to be some recent signings by the time that you're watching this and some smaller signings, but right now it's Rashi Rice, whose status is up in the air. Marquise Brown, who was addition this year, a really nice addition as well, but he's only on a one-year deal. And then some other guys who have been there. Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, Justin Watson, just pieces that have never really done too much. Plain and simple, they need help, not just for this year, but also for the future when you consider that Marquise Brown is on that one-year deal. Enter Troy Franklin to the rescue out of Oregon, who is somebody who is able to produce in both the X and Y wide receiver roles while at Oregon and can contribute right away for the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, Franklin is going to be somebody who could directly replace Marquez Valdes-Scantling, except in my opinion, he is a much better prospect. I mean, when MVS came out, he was just a late fifth round pick. Franklin's probably going to go with the Chiefs or somewhere in the second round overall. He's a better player. And it's not the exact same body style as MVS. MVS was a bigger receiver, 20, 30 pounds heavier. You're getting a more of a build like a Will Fuller out of a Troy Franklin. And while in college, Troy Franklin produced for multiple seasons at Oregon. The big one was last year with Bo Nix when they were one of the best teams in the nation at Oregon, and he put up nearly 1,400 total yards on 81 catches. Now, Franklin's game is winning downfield and picking up yards after the catch. Not really something that MVS did, and more importantly, Franklin has reliable hands, which is definitely not something that MVS did in his tenure or his entire career in the NFL. Now, there are some strength concerns when it comes to Franklin. How strong is he really? He barely got away with it, and at times it looked like he struggled in college. What about the stronger defensive backs in the NFL? Well, that's a role that he can maybe grow into now that he doesn't have to be the number one receiver right away for this team. Because as we mentioned, they still have Marquise Brown there. They have Travis Kelce, and maybe Rashi Rice will be there, so he's not going to have to be the guy right away. Now, the next team I want to talk about is the Dallas Cowboys because, yeah, they need a running back after letting Tony Pollard walk in free agency and go to the Tennessee Titans. As of right now, the Cowboys haven't done much at the running back position. They re-signed Rico Dowdle, okay. They ended up signing Royce Freeman, who by the end of this all will probably just end up getting cut after OTAs, training camp, and maybe preseason. Now, the Cowboys' current draft picks, and of course, this can change with some sort of a trade, but right now, the 24th overall pick in the first round, they're not taking a running back there. But this right here, the 56th overall pick in the second round is likely where they'll take a running back. And whose music is that playing right now? Oh my God, it's Jonathan Brooks out of Texas, and it just makes too much sense for the Cowboys to be interested in him in round two. First off, he played 3 seasons at the University of Texas, which is located in Austin, just 2.5 to 3 hours away from Dallas, so they probably got a pretty good eye on him for a while now. And secondly, Jonathan Brooks tore his ACL last year, and the doctor that overlooked the surgery and the recovery plan was the Dallas Cowboys team doctor. So they already have a built-in edge on his medical information and maybe the type of person that he is and how he's recovering. Now, Brooks is a young back, and he really doesn't have a lot of mileage on him because he only spent 3 years in college, and the first two were behind Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson at Texas. In fact, he only has 238 career carries, and when he finally got to be the guy in 2023 in 10 games, when you factor in his rushing yards of over 1,100 and then his receiving yards of about 286, he had over 1,400 rushing yards in just 10 games. So 140 total yards in just 10 games. Jonathan Brooks brings the rare combination of size, speed, vision, and strength to the tables for a Cowboys backfield that needs it. Because right now, if you look at his competition, I mean, there's Rico Dowdle, who was fine there last year, but he's no workhorse. Malik Davis, who has not been efficient when ever given touches, even in the preseason in the NFL. And then Deuce Vaughn, who is an exciting back in college. He was productive, but he's a second-year player in the NFL, just 179 pounds. Now, this landing spot for Brooks would probably make him the immediate starter in this backfield, assuming he's healthy to start the year off that ACL, and definitely an appealing fantasy option. Now let's discuss the Miami Dolphins offense, one that is just built off of one big thing, and that's speed. I mean, on the player profile or depth charts right here, you can just see all of this speed. Devon Achane, obviously elite speed, former track star, was great last year as a rookie. Raheem Mostert, definitely speedy. Tyreek Hill, I don't have to explain to you, he's fast. Jaylen Waddle, and oh yeah, now their tight end room after adding Jonnu Smith, they got a big speedster at the tight end position as well. So the entire offense is about getting guys with speed the ball and getting them speed in space so they can pick up yards after the catch. Well, why not add the fastest wide receiver to ever enter the NFL? And that would be the Texas wide receiver, so another Texas player here, in Xavier Worthy, who, yeah, at the NFL Combine ran a 4.21 40 time, the fastest ever. Now look, Worthy is a smaller wide receiver, and at the Combine when he weighed 165 pounds, he probably lost like 5 to 7 pounds of weight just to kind of hit that record-setting 40 time. And the size has been a concern overall and how that affects his overall ability to run routes outside of just go routes or screens, but honestly, it won't matter if he's going to have to be the number three receiver on this team. There's not as much pressure on him because it'll give him a chance to develop in the NFL when he's playing next to Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle and not the first read on some of his routes. Gives him time to develop with a nice coach and put him some size and increase his route running ability. Now, Worthy wins plain and simple with his speed, both downfield like we touched on earlier and in the screen department. And he was productive all 3 years in college. Right away as an 18-year-old, he goes out there, earns over 100 targets, a 30% target share, nearly posts 1,000 yards at Texas. He produces the next following years or the next 2 years, including this past year with season highs and career highs, 75 catches and over 1,000 yards. And when we look at the wide receiver depth, of course he's going to be behind Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. But when you talk about the future, I mean, Tyreek Hill might not be there for more than one or two more years. So that's something to point out. Obviously, this is a future player when you're drafting a rookie for 4 or 5 years, depending if he's a first or a second round pick. Waddle's there. But after that, Braxton Berrios, Braylon Sanders, there's another couple of guys there that they've taken in the draft in previous years. I think Anthony Schwartz is on this team. Worthy is better than those guys. Now, another team that is likely to draft the receiver and honestly needs to draft the receiver is the Buffalo Bills, because they just lost their top two receivers from the past few years. Stephon Diggs was traded to the Texans, and they lost Gabe Davis in free agency to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, they did add, if you go out there and see right here, they added a couple of receivers. Mac Collins, 1 year deal for $2.5 million. Okay, maybe he's like a depth piece. And then Curtis Samuel, which was their big signing, 3 years, $24 million, but you're replacing Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis with Curtis Samuel. No, you need more. And look, Curtis Samuel is appealing. He's still just 27 years old, I believe, and he was actually with Joe Brady, the now offensive coordinator of the Bills, when he was with the Carolina Panthers and had his best season. So my opinion isn't a knock on Samuel. It's just that they need more help here, and I think that's exactly what they're going to get overall in round one. This is the number 38 pick. ESPN, this is from, is wrong. It's the number 28 pick overall in the first round. And with that 28th overall pick, I believe they should take Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. Look, Brian Thomas in most classes would be a top two or three, maybe even the number one receiver, but in this loaded class, he's not. He's a top five receiver, my number four overall receiver, and at the end of the first round, I think the Bills are getting a great player. Now, he's a younger player, spent just 3 years in college. He's an early declare. In his first 2 years, he was behind some other future NFL players like Kayshon Booty, who went to the NFL last year. But in 2023, finally gets to play, breaks out for almost 1,200 yards, and a college football high 17 touchdowns. And Thomas would give the Bills something they just don't have right now. Elite size and speed on the outside, who can be a true X receiver and replace Stephon Diggs. Now, Thomas's route running improved in 2023. That was probably the biggest increase to his skill set. We saw him run a couple of more diverse route trees. And his main game, though, is the vertical routes. It's the ability to win jump balls, contested catches. He hit these at over a 50% clip, which is just insane. And I mentioned he's bigger and faster. Well, at 210 pounds, he ran a 4.33 40 time, which the only guy at that type of a size to run faster ever at the NFL Combine at his size of like 6'4", 210 plus pounds was DK Metcalf. Now, very quietly, the Bills have a lot of speed at receiver. If they were to draft Brian Thomas, they'd have Brian Thomas. Khalil Shakur ran in the low 4.4s. Curtis Samuel, a long time ago, ran a 4.31 40 time, helped him become a second round pick out of Ohio State. So these are all really nice and fast guys, except these guys don't have the height and downfield ability like a Brian Thomas to be a number one receiver. Now let's stay in this wide receiver department and go to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are infamous over the past 10 to 15 years for drafting, and not even infamous, just famous for drafting and developing wide receivers. I mean, look at this list courtesy of SteelersDepot.com. You can see right here. I mean, you can go all the way back if you wanted to Mike Wallace and Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown in 2009 and 2010. But just over the past 10 years alone, Martavis Bryant, Juju Smith-Schuster, who had records as a rookie in terms of his production, Deontay Johnson and George Pickens. There's also Chase Claypool in there, who had a double-digit touchdown season as well, not listed. That's five guys in the last 10 years that were taken in the first couple of rounds who were pretty solid contributors. And that might not sound like a lot, but it is, because when you actually nail those guys, then you don't have to go out there and draft receivers. When they actually have to draft guys, they find them and they develop them. But after losing Deontay Johnson in free agency and Chase Claypool a couple of years ago, look, they don't have much left right now. Yes, George Pickens is still there, but Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields, whoever's throwing the football at times this year, needs more help than George Pickens, Van Jefferson, and I think like Quez Watkins they recently signed from the Eagles. And I personally think that that help can come in the form of Florida wide receiver Ricky Pearsall. With George Pickens on the outside, I honestly think that Pearsall is one of the most perfect fits for this offense based on where they're drafting. He can win out of the slot. He was the most efficient slot receiver in the entire SEC last season. But he can also win on the outside. He's not just a slot receiver because he's about 6 foot and 190 pounds. He has that frame to bang it with bigger guys on the outside. Now, here's where I think the Steelers are going to take him. Not number one in their first round with the number 20 overall pick. Definitely in round two with the 51st overall pick is where they're going to have to take Pearsall, because he'll be gone by their 84th overall pick, barring some sort of trade up in the third round. So I think you're going to get Pearsall or a similar receiver, maybe like a Ladd McConkey type in round two. I think that's where they can nail him. And what you get in Pearsall is a high IQ route runner. He knows how to get open and pick up yards after the catch. Very similar to what Deontay Johnson did the past few years for this team. Except Pearsall is a far better athlete than Deontay Johnson. Johnson ran a slower 40 time, didn't have a lot of burst at the NFL Combine, and Pearsall goes out there and runs a 4.41 40 time, great for his size, and shows elite
burst agility, and catch radius scores. So I think if Pearsall lands in Pittsburgh, he could be a potential 100-plus target guy right away in real life, and then in fantasy be a quality sleeper. Next up, we move over to the Detroit Lions offense, and this offense is bringing back a lot of key pieces that almost got them to the Super Bowl last year. And we can see some of those key pieces right here. Obviously, their number one receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of the best receivers in the league. The best rookie tight end last year in Sam Laporta, and already one of the best tight ends in the league, it appears. And then they have that duo out of the backfield, the dual threat weapons of Jahmyr Gibbs with the pass catching and explosiveness, and David Montgomery, the tough running. Honestly, this team has a ton of pieces. You could also include Jameson Williams, expected to see a larger role this year for the Detroit Lions in his third season, the wide receiver. But there is one key player that they lost this offseason, and it might not seem like a key piece, but it was, and that's Josh Reynolds, who left and signed a two-year deal with the Denver Broncos. Reynolds caught 40 balls for over 600 yards and 5 touchdowns, which is a pretty big contribution when you're talking about there already being a solid tight end, wide receiver one, and pass catching running back on the team. And more importantly, Reynolds was just that stretch the field type of guy who can go up and get a contested catch and fight off guys. That's not going to be Jameson Williams' role. He's a more of a small receiver, wins on speed, and it's definitely not Amon-Ra St. Brown's role. So I believe that's where Jalen Polk out of Washington can come in with the Lions' 61st overall pick in the second round and make a major contribution. Look, Polk probably already has the best hands in this class, and where he wins is his contested catches, but it's not just a jump ball receiver. No, he can also pick up yards after the catch. He has decent speed for his size of 200 plus pounds, and he had multiple solid seasons at Washington in college, including his final year was his best year, 69 catches, over 1,100 total yards, and a ton of big, massive highlight reel catches. I really think that this Detroit fit is great for him because Polk isn't a number one wide receiver. That's not where he's going to win. He's probably a high-end number two, or really a specific role as a number three on the outside, like Josh Reynolds was last year for the Lions. And this is the perfect fit with the Lions because you already have your number one receiver in Amon-Ra St. Brown. You don't have to worry about being the guy. You already have your number two option in Sam Laporta, and maybe even 2B in Jahmyr Gibbs. You don't have to have that pressure of going out there and picking up 60, 70, 80 plus catches in your rookie year. No, just be getting on the field and having quality reps. And the addition of Jalen Polk to this team, or any receiver with that type of skill set in the second or third round, makes me like Jared Goff's over 27.5 passing touchdowns this year even more. I already like it to begin with. I like it even more if they add an offensive weapon like I expect them to. And you could take that more than 27.5 passing touchdowns already. Right now on PrizePicks, you can pair it up with some other plays, and they'll actually give you up to $100 to play with for free when you sign up with code SAL. You just use the link in the description below. We've been partners with them for 4 years now. It's crazy. It's already been 4 years. Or you can scan the QR code on the screen. We'll have another pick to pair this up with later in the video. But before we get there, we have to talk about the New England Patriots, who at number three overall are more and more expected to take Drake May, but that's not the guy I want to talk about in this video for a potential landing spot best case scenario player. Because we can assume that they'll take a rookie quarterback up there, but I think based on their current weapons that they also need to get him more help. Because the Patriots' current receiver room is not great. I mean, you're talking about Juju Smith-Schuster, who was a backup at times towards the end of last year. Demario Douglas, an undrafted rookie last year, who actually had some success, but he can't be your number one receiver. Kendrick Bourne deals with injuries on and off the field. KJ Osborne was their big signing this offseason. He was the number three receiver for the Vikings last year. None of these guys are number one receivers, and honestly, you could even say most of them aren't number two receivers. New England needs an X receiver who can make a difference at all levels of the field and even after the catch, and I believe that that guy's name is Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. Leggett broke out in his fifth year at South Carolina last year. He posted over 70 catches, over 1,200 receiving yards, so a solid season out South Carolina, and this guy's just a specimen. He's 221 pounds, and at the NFL Combine, despite being that big, ran in the 4.3s and showed elite burst as well. Just unbelievable. This guy is athletic as heck. And Leggett is best known for winning contested catches downfield. Makes sense. He has the size and he has the strength, but also picking up a ton of yards after the catch using that elite speed and burst to do so. And look, the Patriots' current like big receivers, Juju, he's like 215 pounds, but again, he's dealing with that knee injury. Who knows when that knee is going to go? It's bothering the last couple of years. He's lost efficiency. And after that, I mean, we can scroll through some guys here. Jalen Reagor, maybe like a 205, 210 pound receiver, but we know he has not had success in the NFL, now on his third or fourth team. Leggett would instantly become a starter for this team, maybe instantly be the number one receiver for the New England Patriots, and he just has a unique skill set that none of these guys have. So New England has a number three overall pick. I think it'll be Drake May, maybe Jaden Daniels, but number 34 overall in the second round to start it, that's where they need to get a Xavier Leggett type receiver. And another team that needs a receiver and will have to spend a second round pick or two on it is going to be the Carolina Panthers to help Bryce Young. And look, this has been the theme of the offseason for the Panthers. You can see my tweet right here. They're just helping Bryce Young. They traded and got Deontay Johnson. That helps him. They ended up going out there and getting an innovative coach in Dave Canales, who has helped revive the careers of Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield each of the last two seasons. And oh yeah, they improved their terrible interior offensive line by adding guards Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis. So these are all great things for your second year quarterback who you took with the number one overall pick last year, but why stop there? Because this team's receivers just lacked juice last season. Deontay Johnson should be able to help with that, but Adam Thielen's like 34 years old now. Jonathan Mingo as a rookie last year, he was okay, had some highs and lows. Terrace Marshall hasn't done it for a few seasons now, and then after that, they just have a bunch of depth pieces. David Moore's an athletic freak, but has never really caught on in the NFL, which is why I believe that they should go out there and get a guy who can do a lot of things for you and be reliable in Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. Look, McConkey is a top five receiver in this class for me. He's just a reliable receiver who knows how to get open and pick up yards after the catch. And before getting injured last season, McConkey was one of the top five most efficient receivers in the country. So you get this great route runner who can win out of the slot and also win out wide, and then he goes to the combine and surprisingly runs a 4.39 40 time. People had him pegged as like a 4.48 type of receiver. 4.39 40 time, yeah, this is looking real good. Now McConkey's not going to be the guy to go out there and win jump balls for you. If there was anybody on this team that could do that, maybe it's a Terrace Marshall or Jonathan Mingo if they can take that next step. That's probably the piece that this team still needs on offense. But if you're looking at a receiver room of a Ladd McConkey, older Adam Thielen, and Deontay Johnson this year compared to last year, that's a big upgrade. So the Panthers have those 2 second round picks. I think that's where they have to go at least. And I wouldn't be shocked if they go with two, but probably one wide receiver here. And I hope that Ladd McConkey is one of them. And look, if the expectation is they take at least one quality receiver there, I like this Bryce Young play right here of over 3,150 and a half passing yards for this season. I think it already looks good with Deontay Johnson there and all that help from the coaching to the offensive line. Now you add a talented rookie receiver to the mix, it's even better. Like I said earlier, you get a free play up to $100 on Prize Picks, and you can have that same combination right there. The Jared Goff touchdowns plus the Bryce Young passing yards, and you can put up $20. You'll get $20 for free then, or up to $100, and bada bang, you're entered in. You can just scan the QR code on the screen or click the link in the description below to get that offer right now. This now takes us to the Giants draft, where they're going to have to do a lot here. They do have a second and a third round pick, but the number 6 overall pick is going to be key for them, and it seems like they're going to target a wide receiver. And plain and simple, this team needs juice after they lost their most explosive player in Saquon Barkley in free agency, and right now Darren Waller is considering retirement because their current wide receiver depth chart is not all that great. Jalen Hyatt, a second-year player, had times last year where he looked okay. The quarterback situation was kind of tough. Darius Slayton has always been solid, but mostly a wide receiver 2 or 3 for your team. Wan'Dale Robinson also dealing with injuries, more of a short to intermediate passing type player. They picked up Isaiah McKenzie. These are all, at best, number 2 receivers for a team, and a lot of them are number 3 options, no number 1s. So yeah, the Giants need to draft a number 1, and a lot of people have them pegged to take Malik Nabers here, but the current steam is actually that Rome Odunze is going to end up as a New York Giant, and I actually like this fit more. Look, Odunze is as NFL ready as they come right now. He has a very safe floor and a high ceiling. You saw him produce for multiple years at Washington, where last year he had 141 targets, insane, while playing next to two other NFL receivers that'll be drafted in this class, Jalen McMillan and Jalen Polk, like we talked about earlier, and over 1,500 yards. And plain and simple, this Odunze guy, he just wins everywhere. He wins off the line of scrimmage, against press coverage, downfield, and at the catch point, and oh yeah, the dude is an unreal route runner. He's as legit as it gets. Then the fella shows up to the NFL Combine, weighs 212 pounds, so that's solid. People thought he was like 208 or so a little bit bigger than expected. Runs a 4.45 40 time and dominates all the other things here, from burst, agility, and catch radius. We love it. If the Giants take Odunze, it'll be unlike any receiver that they've had for a very long time there. I mean, even different than an Odell Beckham Jr. when he was coming out, the way that they play, a big physical receiver who can win on the outside immediately would be the number one receiver for Daniel Jones. Next up, I want to talk about the Arizona Cardinals and really key in on their wide receiver room, because they need a wide receiver. It's as simple as that. They lost Marquise Brown in free agency. They traded away Rondell Moore. Their number one receiver right now is Michael Wilson, a second year player who caught 38 balls his rookie year. I actually like Michael Wilson, but more so like a wide receiver 3 on a team, not a wide receiver 1. So yes, we need them to draft the receiver, and lucky for them, they have an awesome draft pick. The Cardinals have the number 4 overall pick in the draft, and there's some rumors that they might trade back and then just get a receiver and pick up another one, or maybe one later on with the 27th overall pick. But why not just take the best receiver that we've seen since Ja'Marr Chase, and maybe even since Julio Jones, and that man's name would be Marvin Harrison. Harrison would immediately become easily the hands down number 1 receiver, not only on this Cardinals team, but in their entire division. And now check this out. Harrison, the last 2 years at Ohio State, which is tough competition in the Big Ten, with not having the best quarterback play last year, still able to put up over 1,200 yards each of the past 2 seasons and 14 touchdowns while playing next to another future first round pick in Abuka. In my opinion, Kyler Murray and this entire Cardinals offense would benefit most from just staying at number 4, picking Marvin Harrison instead of trading back and hoping to land a Malik Nabers or a Rome Odunze. Because honestly, Harrison is great everywhere. He's an elite route runner that wins at all levels of the field and has very few, if any, flaws to his game. So these are the 10 ideal landing spots that I want to see in the NFL draft. And of course, this is going to help in fantasy football and some fantasy friendly landing spots, but also I think there's some realistic fits here. Now, if you want to see my top 20 receivers ranked and tiered for the NFL draft before it takes place, well, you can check out this video right over here, and we're going to have a ton of content after the draft as well. So be sure to subscribe if you're not already.